You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Yeah.
Red Kingdom. Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Yeah.
Red Kingdom. Welcome to the place where we run it.
Welcome to it. It is a Friday. Bumping Tech 9 today, baby.
That's right. It's a Red Friday. First in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, it feels forever.
It feels like we had, like preseason is over, and now it's time for the regular season and getting ready for some football this weekend.
That's
a little
right.
Super Bowl rematch, right?
That's right.
Which is not really a Super Bowl rematch. You know, I was listening to Trent Williams a little bit yesterday. He's like, that has nothing to do with this game. If we get excited about beating the Chiefs in the regular season after losing in the Super Bowl, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm indifferent how I feel about this game. We'll dive into that with Mitch Holtis later on today. We'll get into our scripts. We'll get into our like writing scripts, not our medical scripts.
That's right.
I don't need to go through the CVS drive-through. And much, much more on this Red Friday as we finally get to dive into this Chiefs and Niners game this week. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, all damn glad to have you on a Friday morning. Greatest day of the week. But before we get into the Chiefs and Niners, boy, that was October baseball last night.
Boy, it was. Wasn't it, though? Ooh. My God, that thing in Cleveland last night featuring the Yankees and Indians. My goodness, what an unbelievable baseball game, right?
You and I are texting each other, and it's to the point, like, this is where our relationship is. We can just text one word, and we know what the other one means.
Yeah.
And, like, I got texted Judge, and I'm looking at the TV. I'm like, yeah. And I just sit back. He's arrived.
Yep.
Trouble, yes. They were watching it, doing all this sort of thing, and next thing you know, it's like, well, I guess the Yankees are going to sweep, and then all of a sudden, it's...
I declared it over to you last night, and it was that point,
it
right?
Was, yeah. They brought in Class A. He goes, boom to Judge, boom to Stanton, brought their closer in early, like it's the normal strategy.
Which you should do.
Should have done it. And then... Yankees are up, and then you have, I think, do you have the audio of where it went after that?
Oh, my God. 10th inning, baby. Tommy Hamilton.
Here it comes.
Really does.
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes. Is not done by any means.
So Cleveland saves their season because it should have been 3-0 Yankees, right?
Yeah.
It should have been over after Stanton and Judge go back to back. And boy, it wasn't. And everybody was throwing out like how good Class A was, you know, all season long, right? Like he gave up more runs, I think, last night than he did all year or something bizarre
His ERA
like that.
Was 0.61.
Yeah. I think he gave up like 2 home runs all year. So, I mean, it was some bizarre numbers like that. Everybody's talking about the greatest closer in baseball.
Yeah, they just forgot about Wade's 2015 year where his ERA was like 0.91.
Yeah,
but yeah, whatever.
But Class A, I mean, just, you know, you're not supposed to be in that situation where you're giving up those 2 home runs, but it goes to show you, man, October isn't for everybody. And in baseball, you become a legend in October. And that guy, what was it? David Frost or whatever his name is.
Fry,
who hit the home run for Cleveland. That's the guy who saved their season 2 against Detroit a couple of days ago, hit the big home run against the Tigers against Scooble, I believe, to give him the opportunity to advance. I mean, that son of a gun is never going to buy anything in Cleveland. You said he's never going to buy a drink. That dude ain't buying dinner. He ain't buying car insurance. He's buying nothing in Cleveland right now.
Is there, like, I'm dead ass serious here. Is there, like, well-known commodity of food, the skyscraper chili or whatever
chili? That's Cincinnati.
But that's Ohio,
right? Cincinnati. Cleveland. It's not Cleveland,
What's
though?
Cleveland's, like, known food?
They have a different kind of mustard at the ballpark that they use, which I don't really particularly like.
It's like a German mustard?
No, I don't even know how to explain it. It's called, like, ballpark mustard or something. Look it up online. It's a weird color. and thing of that nature. So it's a weird. It looks like baby poop.
So they
quite
got
honestly.
They got mustard.
Yeah, there's a Cleveland mustard, but there's a great place for wings in Cleveland called the Winking Lizard, which I like. But
I'm sorry,
the Winking Lizard. I don't know that there is. I don't know that like Cleveland has like a staple food or anything like that. But whatever it is, he's not buying anything in Cleveland. And now all of a sudden we're going to a game five, and you're watching Clase do his thing. Okay, he screwed that up. Then the Yankees bring in their closer. You know, yeah. He screws that up. Luke Weaver, you know,
is insane because he's been an anomaly.
He's been fantastic, you know, in the postseason. But you know, this is where legends are born and where legends are created. Yeah. Is October, and I just think October baseball. When you get games like that, it's great. The Mets and Dodgers series, forget about that thing.
Yeah,
the Dodgers are just smoking everybody, you know, in their way right now. But now this American League series, man, this was an unbelievable game last night, and it makes you kind of look at the Royals as well, like that David Fry guy, where he bats in the lineup. That's what we're missing right now, right? That big power bat that can come up and deliver a home run like that later in the order. Because once you got past Salvi, like, who you going to, right?
Mind goes immediately after watching
the Royals need a bat.
How do you sleep at night?
But that's my mind is always working and going, okay, how does this work for our team? How does this not work for our team? But immediately I'm thinking, damn, that's a late in the order bat that we would love to have here. Not him in particular, but just a bat like that. If somebody that can come up 7-8-9, 6-7-8-9, bash one over the wall and give you an opportunity.
And
right?
Essentially that's their, I don't know, Alex Gordon home run.
Yeah.
Like that's that moment.
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
That's one of those. That's Brett Boone game seven.
Yeah.
Right. Like Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
He'll never be known for anything in his career, whether he wins a World Series, even if he wins a World Series of the Yankees this year as a manager, they will always remember Tim Wakefield, Aaron Boone,
right
deep to left, walk off.
Gone. Yeah.
And it's just, that's what that sort of thing is. And like David Fry, his home run, it's just one of those moments where it's like you sit back, chills on your back, you know, whatever it is. And Gordon, like you'll never forget. Like Gordon's made a handful of defensive plays that you probably think of. Like
right,
I remember the one
sure.
he made in front of my dad and I when we were at the ALCS clinching game, game four when they won, and he runs into the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of Alex Gordon, I think of rounding first, putting his finger in the air,
absolutely,
hitting a home run against
right.
the Mets.
That's his biggest moment. It's arguably the biggest home run in Royals history, other than, you know, George's upper deck tank job against the Yankees and Goose. And then you got Alex Gordon's, you know, big home run. And, of course, Alcides Escobar with the leadoff home run.
Yeah. That wasn't the Mets. That was the Giants.
No, that was the Mets.
That was game one against the Mets.
Yeah,
he hit it off of Diaz, or what was it?
No.
Familia.
Familia. Everyone's worried about Familia.
Yeah,
and then this guy leads off with a home run. But, I mean, that Noel home run, too, was blast. I mean, that guy deposited that thing outside the stadium to tie the game and to send it to extra innings.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Stanton and Judge, you know, give the Yankees the lead in the ninth. And then all of a sudden that Noel guy comes up and belts one. And now we've got a tie ball game and you're going to the 10th inning. And I mean, just that's the kind of baseball that you like, right? Like, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's good not to have a dog in the fight, really, and just kind of watch a game and appreciate it for what it is. Because say that was a Royals game last night and you were watching that. Oh my God, how sick to your stomach, you know, would you be? And all that kind of stuff. Like, just depending on what side of the outcome you were on, you know, we never had experience a loss quite like that in our baseball livelihoods. But now you got game, four today. How are the Yankees going to respond?
7-0-8 tonight.
How are they going to get back up? That's all what this is about.
They
it's
don't
not,
care.
You know,
you know what I mean?
Like, but I don't know if they do or not. Like, there's so much pressure on them to win from everybody. There's so much pressure on Aaron Judge to hit home runs and to do his thing. How do you handle pressure, and how do you handle October pressure? And for a long time, the Yankees haven't handled it all that well. So it'll be real interesting to see how they bounce back, or if this is going to be one of those games that now gives Cleveland momentum and they're able to tie this thing up. I don't know, man. Yeah, it is 2-3-2. Yeah. So you got two more in Cleveland, then the off day, I think on Sunday, we were kind of going through it in our minds earlier, and then game 6 and 7.
Would they have an off day?
Yeah, they would because they played three in a row, right? Yeah,
so they played Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, off day Sunday, which is smart with football, and then get back at it on Monday. But I mean,
you got to challenge two big Monday Night Football games.
Oh yeah, huge Monday Night Football game.
Well, one's decent. One's Baltimore and Tampa Bay.
That'll be a good game, but I don't need
the
to see
the other one
Arizona.
Is LAC at ARZ.
Tough. Binkley's like, where do I get that stream from?
middle of the here. So I found out. I I found some. It says what 10 most iconic foods that define Cleveland.
Okay, what do they have on the list? Because my wife's family is from Cleveland. Yeah. My wife's uncle works for the Indians, and so I'm sure they were very happy last night with the game was going. And because my wife got home, she goes, my uncle and aunt are not happy. They're texting my mother. They're very upset about this game. And then, boom, in the 10th inning, you see Tom Hamilton.
Here it comes.
Swung on, hit high.
That's a solid hit.
Oh, yeah.
There she goes.
That was solid, solid bat on baseball.
Really good. And then you got Stanton delivering one.
1-2. Swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. Wow. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Stanton and Judge have hit home runs, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly. And the Yankees take the lead. Giancarlo. Non si può stopparlo. He homers, and he and Judge hit him back-to-back. Yeah. And the Yankees now take a 4-3 lead.
I mean, you get the lead in that situation, and then you blow it. Those are tough to recover from, man. Ask the 49ers, right?
Couldn't happen to any other team.
And the 1-2 swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone. It was a line drive, and it went over the right field fence. It's a judgian blast. Yankee dugout goes nuts. They're all on the field. A two-run home run to tie the game the opposite way. The judgian blast. And
judgian.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Here come the judge.
I love it. It's so entertaining.
It's great, man.
It is just fantastic.
Here comes
wonderful.
Number 99, Mr. Aaron Judge, comes to the plate. The guy's choked more on the playoffs than a little kid on a carrot trying to eat food for the first time. See?
It's true, yeah.
Aaron Judge, it's a line drive to right. It's judge in. All rise. The judge is in court.
Yeah.
See?
It's wonderful. It is so entertaining. That's the way baseball needs to be called. Like Tom Hamilton and John Sterling, man. Two of the best. So good. So entertaining.
The other guy must be like threatening the female in the booth.
Wow. Wow. Oh, he's excited. When he stands, we stand. He'll, you know, he still thinks it's 1960, Beth.
Yeah.
The Polish boy, a glorious messy marriage of kielbasa, coleslaw, french fries, and barbecue sauce. That's a Cleveland staple.
Never heard of it.
Corned beef on rye. Sign me up. Yeah, I think we all know what that is.
Is that like a staple? That's like saying a hamburger is a staple somewhere.
What?
Give me something that's unique to Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there is anything.
They had the pizza bagel. That's what it
so
says.
So does Totino's.
The doughy rolls coated in cheese and tomato sauce.
God,
and the players, they get in line to eat these things before their game. They say it gets max 10 feet, see?
What else do they have?
Standing mustard. Stadium mustard. There it is.
Yeah.
The brown sauce we grew up with while watching the Tribe at Municipal Stadium.
It looks like baby poop.
Looks poopy.
The Jake in Progressive Field. Why? The Sports Associated Condiment has deep roots in Cleveland with Bertman's battling its rival.
Yeah, it's not good either.
I bet it's good on a brat.
No, it's not. It's like a sour taste almost to it.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of like your opinion, man.
Yeah, well.
Coming up on the other side, we get into what Nate Taylor had to say to us yesterday and where we react to it as we dive into more of what is this matchup of the Chiefs and the Niners in week 7. Who cares? Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, it's your home for Kansas City sports. Mitch Holtis will join us later on in the show. Joining us yesterday, though, was Nate Taylor. Thought he said a couple interesting things, Bab. Because if you missed yesterday, Juju pops up on the injury report. I don't know if that's just like veteran rest. I don't know if that is whatever it may be, but Juju Smith-Schuster was...
Yeah, they're saying a little bit of a hamstring thing.
Not
going
a
on
fan of that.
I don't like it. Not going to say it. I'm excited about that, but you know what? It's weird when I see injuries for the Chiefs that I just go, eh, all right, whatever.
Yeah. maybe, you know, my mind immediately went to like, maybe this is just like veterans rest. This is one of those things. Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
And we talked yesterday about how like this is a car that has got the oil, you know, change oil sign on, check engine lights on. We're low on windshield wiper fluid. We're like one more step away from where like we're going to have to like shut it down, go take it to a mechanic and fix it. Nate Taylor yesterday on this show, if you missed it, check out the podcast page. Nate Taylor had this to say about what they will do.
Now you have a baseline of what to expect from, hey, if we make a trade, is it going to be a third-round pick? Is it going to be a fourth-round pick? Obviously, you're not going to go towards a second or a first-rounder. So the Chiefs can come back after this game against the 49ers and say, okay, we have another sort of sample size to assess our own receiving group. What receiver can help us sort of complement Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster? Is that a Deontay Johnson? Is that a Darius Slater? Those are some of the players that you could think about. If I have to say right now, I do think the Chiefs will make a trade for a receiver.
You mentioned yesterday on the X Sphere, obviously
the X Sphere, right?
Yeah. You contact your source and you go for the Raiders. Yeah, right. Thanks for calling. Have a good day.
Yeah. So the Chiefs did contact the Raiders about Devontae Adams, right? And the response I was told that they were given was Mr. Davis is not interested in trading Devontae Adams to a division opponent. And,
fair.
And so that's fine. And I totally get that. But it just goes to show you the Chiefs are making the phone calls to see what they can do at that wide receiver position. But it also goes back to what we've talked about a lot. Like, everybody wants to have the Chiefs make a move, right? Got to make a move. But the other teams are saying, we're not interested in trading with you. So I'm sure there were some folks that are, you know, ticked off that Devontae Adams didn't come here to Kansas City. Well, when Mr. Davis is not interested in trading Devontae Adams to a division rival, there's just nothing you can do about that. Like, you know, we joked with Q earlier in the year about going and kidnapping players from other teams, and he kind of played along with the bit and whatever. But I don't know that Brett's going to fly out to Vegas anytime soon and kidnap players. I don't think you can just do that in the NFL. That's more of a baseball thing. Mm. Right. So I just don't think there was any way to get Devontae Adams. I know there was no way that they were going to go out there and get Devontae Adams. But the bigger picture is they understand they need some reinforcements, if you will, at wide receiver. I'm not saying they need somebody to save the team or anything like that, because they don't. But they do need reinforcements at that position. And, you know, as we kind of talked about with Nate Taylor a little bit yesterday, when more teams start to lose, and this could be another big week of weeding out some of these losers that are willing to wave the white flag, opens it up a little bit more. So I guess if you want DeAndre Hopkins, you're rooting against Tennessee. If you want Darius Slayton, you're rooting against the Giants. Like, you're rooting for these teams that have some of these quote-unquote coveted wide receivers to lose, because the quicker they lose and realize they suck and wave the white flag, the better it is for us and the more options that we're going to have out there to go out and acquire somebody. So they're working the phone lines. They're trying to get something done, but it's all a matter of, will you trade with me, and what's the incentive if you're the Raiders to trade with the Chiefs? There is none.
The receiver that might be on the radar, according to Nate Taylor, The Athletic, had this to say.
That's where it gets fascinating, because I know Tutu Atwell could be available, right? I know some people are saying, well, how about DeMarcus Robinson? You know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling just entered the bar, and he wasn't even, like, available, you know, but he's available now. You know, you don't have to trade for him, of course. I think if I had to make a pick right now, it's probably Darius Slayton.
So Nate Taylor, Darius Slayton says, makes the most sense. Unrestricted free agent next year. Contracts obviously make sense. Deontay Johnson is another name that you heard him say earlier in the conversation. So to me, realistically, when you take what you said about what teams will say to the Chiefs and what Chiefs, you know, front office will probably look forward to, the three names that probably make the most amount of sense are Darius Slayton.
Why? Who does he play for?
Giants.
No competition with the Chiefs whatsoever.
Out and about, and his contract makes sense because
it's over after this season. Right. You don't have to worry about investing long term. Right?
DeAndre Hopkins makes sense.
Who he play for?
Tennessee Titans.
They suck.
They're not worried about it. They would essentially be like, hey, we gave you a third for a L'Jarius Sneed. Why don't you just give us that third back, and we'll give you this wide receiver.
Could you see that move happening, just giving right back the pick?
Why not?
Absolutely,
Brett Veach, I had to draw a four card the whole time.
That's right, yeah.
Uno, señorita.
So essentially, we trade L'Jarius Sneed for DeAndre Hopkins, potentially, right? I mean, whatever,
and
you know.
I'll deal with it. The other part about it, too, is that there is a little bit of concern with DeAndre Hopkins, because they've said that he's got, like, an MCL strain,
right.
The knee's a little so, like, to me, he's one of those guys that, like, you better know, because you
don't want to bring him in and have an injury.
Well, and you can't afford that,
right?
Like, I know football is football and injuries happen, but, like, you can't afford to bring in a guy who's already kind of a little bit weathered and damaged.
Well, there's one thing about your own guy getting injured. It's one thing to trade for a guy and have an injured guy who you're bringing in already injured. You just don't do that, in my opinion. Like, to me, DeAndre Hopkins way down the line, right? Yeah. Because of that injury thing. I'm looking at guys that are healthy right now.
Right. And then the other name that makes sense, because we saw the report, or maybe not everybody, but I saw reports yesterday that Deontay Johnson's name is starting to heat up on the phone lines and all amongst AFC teams.
Mm-hmm.
That lets me know that I feel comfortable enough to say this. I think Brett Veach has probably reached out to Carolina.
I would imagine, yes.
Same sort of story. Season's over.
Right.
They're going to get housed this weekend by Washington. And it's at the point now where you're like, you know, almost to the halfway point of the season. You're, you know, getting close to all that sort of like, here's where we sell. We're, you know, what, like less than 20 days away from the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a guy that would make sense contract-wise, talent-wise. He's another one of those guys, too, that, like, it's kind of like a Hollywood Brown thing. It's like, well, yeah, I can go to Kansas City. I can really, like, elevate what I am at my position because of who they have at quarterback, what they kind of play calls or what kind of play calls they use. And Slayton, Deontay Johnson, and then small gap DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is I know those other guys are not, like, you know, off the page, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, but those guys become Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams with Patrick Mahomes in this offense.
Well, and that's the thing. You don't need to go out and get Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper for this offense.
And
right,
we were
now,
never going to get Adams because he was going to go to Rodgers and just have his nose up his ass.
Exactly.
We knew that was coming.
But the good news is, like, the Chiefs are calling, like, and they recognize that there is an issue here. Like, I think sometimes we think they just sit back and they're not doing anything. Why aren't they doing trades? Why aren't they making trades? Well, teams don't want to trade with Kansas City at most points of the time. But you just need to go out and get a body at this point. I don't think it's necessarily a big name and you need to break the bank, because when you come to Kansas City, you just become a better football player because you're surrounded by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and winners and guys that, you know, understand how to take their game to the next level. You don't have to come in here and be somebody you're not. There's a lot of guys in the NFL that are really just good role players and probably better positioned to be a role player than they are to be the lead dog. I mean, like Deontay Johnson, maybe he comes in here and thrives because he doesn't have to be the number one guy for a quarterback that sucks, right? In Carolina, he can just come to Kansas City and play free and play with a clear head and not have to worry about, you know, all the pressure that's on him to be the only offensive weapon. Or Darius Slayton coming into Kansas City. How would that be going from Daniel Jones to Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, you're laughing before the punchline. but think about that. Like, you know, he's there in New York. He's got Daniel Jones, who couldn't find an open receiver if it bit him in the ass. And now all of a sudden you're coming to Kansas City and you're getting one-on-one coverage and, you know, Patrick Mahomes throwing you the football and Andy Reid scheming to get you open and all that kind of stuff. Like, you have that opportunity now in front of you, and guys embrace that sort of opportunity where they don't have to be an alleged superstar when they're not ready to be or capable of being a superstar. They can just come in here and be a guy. And that's all that the Chiefs need right now is somebody that's healthy, somebody that's fresh, somebody that knows what they're doing, that can come in here and just be a guy and be a piece to this thing. Not like what the Jets went out and got with Devontae Adams, because as much pressure as there is on Aaron Judge this week, right, and this month, what do you think the pressure now is in New York on Devontae Adams? That guy's going to be expected to go for 150 and two touchdowns every week when they got a noodle arm playing quarterback.
I mean, he leads the league in targets, that's for sure.
So we're Eagles fans massively this weekend, because if the Giants win, they move up to 3-4, which would be tied with the Eagles in the standings at 3-4. Obviously, the Cowboys suck. They may lose. I don't know who they play this weekend,
and
but
they're off this week, right? Yeah.
Okay, so they're on a bye.
They would have a tiebreaker over Philadelphia, too.
Yeah.
At that point, then the Giants may think, okay, we can maybe sneak in wild card. We need Darius Slayton.
Yeah.
So need a Giants L this weekend.
You need a Giants L if you want Darius Slayton in Kansas City. And the sooner that happens, the better for everybody. Because as you mentioned, there's only 18 days now to the trade deadline, right? I mean, so it's coming very fast. And you're going to have to make these decisions. But in the next 2 weeks, you're going to start to see some of these teams fall off a little bit. And look, we may be talking about somebody next week that we're not talking about today, too, right? There may be another team that all of a sudden loses a game. They feel they're out of it. They make their players available and whatnot. Like, you don't need to rush today and buy all your goods, right? We've got a snowstorm coming. You don't need to rush out to the store and buy all the bread and eggs and make your French toast. You can wait a little bit. We can wait a little bit because the Chiefs have a tough one this weekend, right? They're playing San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Then they have the Raiders after that. Then they have Tampa after that. and, you know, the schedule eases up a little bit. So it's not like you have to run out there and make an immediate move to, quote unquote, save your season. You can also play this thing out a little bit as well. You do have that luxury being 5-0, mm-hmm. playing an NFC team this week. But that luxury of being 5-0, it's not panic mode here in Kansas City. And you don't have to overspend to get somebody that may not be that perfect fit for you.
Am I missing like something, or is there like a thing going around the NFL? Because somebody texted in, FYI, for all the Slayton lovers, he leads the NFL in drops. Because when Amari Cooper's name was getting talked about, everyone said Amari Cooper led the league in drops.
Yeah. They're both tied. Yep. They're both tied for the league lead.
But what's their like catch percentage? So I think this stat is skewed, by the way. Because I think like what, and I know that this can be an elongated stat, but like some people would say like a drop's a drop. He didn't catch it. But like Daniel Jones and Deshaun Watson are throwing you footballs. What is the percentage of like catch percentage rate that they have? Are they dropping balls that are like behind their head and like they're essentially getting credited for a drop?
Yeah. Like if it touches your hands, does that count as a drop?
Yeah. I'd like to know the stat of like, yeah, but out of those 15 drops, 8 of those balls were thrown at a 10% catch rate. They just, you know, had the chance to catch it and drop it.
Yeah, but anybody can look at a stat sheet and make a decision on anything.
But I understand because drops killed this team last year. It was the topic of conversation last year.
You're absolutely right about that. But sometimes guys drop passes because they just don't give a rip. You know, and you're going over the middle, you're playing for the Giants, and you see a safety coming over the top. You're like, nah, I'm not catching this thing. I'm going to drop this thing. Or you're Amari Cooper, you're playing in Cleveland, you're 1-5.
Yeah.
What's your incentive to go out there and risk your body and really go full bore? Devontae Adams, another prime example. All of a sudden, his hamstring feels better, right? Like, when you're in a bad situation and teams aren't winning and you're a good football player on that team, sometimes you just look around the room and you go, I ain't risking my life for this, bro. Like, you pull that Blake Snell card, right? I ain't going out here and risking my life. And you see that happen all the time. That's why they talk about change of scenery, and a guy switches teams and all of a sudden does well. And you're like, man, why didn't he do that for us? Because he didn't want to be there. You know, like nobody wants to be in Cleveland. Nobody wants to be playing for the Browns. Nobody wants to be playing for the Giants at this point in time.
You remember when Carlos Beltran went to the Houston Astros in the playoffs?
Oh, my God. Boy, that was something special. But Carlos was really good here. He just never had the opportunity to show it on, you know, that type of stage. I never looked at Carlos Beltran as a guy who dogged it. I think in the NFL, though, you do see that a lot. You do see guys that just don't want to be part of it. Like, do you want to play for Carolina?
I'd like to live in Carolina.
Maybe, but do you want to play for some of these teams that are not good? Do you want to play for the Raiders? Do you want to play for Carolina? Dallas is starting to trend in that direction. Like, you're on a very bad team, and you're thinking about self-preservation. They talk about business decisions all the time, and catching a pass over the middle and getting your clock clean ain't a good business decision on a 1-5 football team.
What's your percentage that they don't make a move?
Oh, I think it's small.
Like 10%?
Yeah, I was going to say like 1%.
So you're like,
rephrase the question, because will they make a move? Do they want to make a move? I think it's two different conversations. Yes, 100% they want to make a move. They called for Devontae Adams, right? We know that. Fair. So they want to make a move, but that's only 50% of the equation. Because if I want that jacket you're wearing right now, right? But you don't want to give me that jacket. What am I supposed to do? Go over there and beat you up and take, like, you just can't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But there's a chair with 6 other jackets that are free. Lost and found, man. You can go grab them. Like, we can go get a jacket. The Chiefs can go get a jacket.
You can go get
there's
a
no
wide
excuse
receiver.
To not get a jacket. Free agency.
Yeah. A lot of jackets.
MVS.
Talking.
Yeah. MVS is a bad jacket. It's tatted. It's ratted. But you know that jacket.
But
You've worn it.
Let me tell you about that jacket right now. That's got a hole in the pocket.
I don't want a jacket.
Yeah, right. You want a coat. You'd rather have a coat.
Yes,
I get it.
Like a coat.
But like that jacket is MVS. You know that jacket. You love that jacket. But it's got a hole in a pocket. Anytime you put your money in there or whatever it is, it falls out the bottom of the pocket and you're losing stuff.
Dropping my keys.
So, like, I understand MVS is familiar, and Andy talked about getting a guy that's kind of familiar with what's going on. But MVS was part of the equation that broke Patrick Mahomes last year in that Buffalo game. It was all adding up with all of those guys dropping the passes, and then Kadarius Toney did his thing, and that led Patrick Mahomes to explode. Now, MVS was good in the postseason again, as he seemingly always is. But Patrick Mahomes reached his breaking point with MVS and the other wide receivers last year. Mm. I don't know, me personally, and the Chiefs could be thinking differently on that. Is that a guy that you want to bring back who had a case of the drops last year and kind of put you in bad situations? I don't know the answer to that question.
I do, no.
But that's where I'm leaning,
no.
Right?
No,
I agree. That's where I'm leaning, but... Yeah. You've seen stranger things happen. Kareem Hunt is back part of this team, right? Nobody ever thought that would be something
that
would
be
possible.
Yeah, but he was gone because of off the field.
Correct.
It wasn't like, yeah, we're getting rid of this guy because he sucks.
Right, but nobody thought he would be back. And so you never close the door, you know? But I just think the door for that MVS move is very, very small. Very, very small.
Agree.
Like 1% open, like... We're going to talk to other people, and if we don't find anybody that you know we can work with, maybe we'll call you back type of thing.
Yeah, I think if you're left out in the cold shivering and Dusty left you and he's at warm and home in his fireplace, like you're picking up that jacket. Like I think that's what the Chiefs are doing.
Yeah, and I think like he's kind of a last-ditch effort.
I agree.
They got 18 days to the trade deadline. They're calling. They're exploring. They're figuring things out. If nothing materializes, all right, fine, MVS, come on in. Patrick, what do you think? Can you handle it? Yeah, I just won't throw him the ball all that much, whatever the case may be. But like I think he's your last ditch effort. I do think the Chiefs are very active on the phone lines. Mm-hmm. I do think they want to get a wide receiver in here. Who that ends up being, we don't know. But they're in a great spot. It's not like they're 3-3 and they need to get into the playoffs to save jobs and then they do stupid trades that hurt the organization long term. They're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They got house money that they're playing with. Oh, and they're 5-0, by the way, this year.
So they're going shopping at Burlington Coat Factory. Living Spaces.
I do like that jingle. That's a good one.
It's quick.
It is. It works.
Great punch.
Though. Yeah.
I mean, they hit you with a sale.
Yeah.
Come on out to Living Spaces and check out our new place. And then it's like a
Living Spaces.
I'm Isaiah Pacheco.
That's right.
Get you some sponsors, boy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mac, you think they're, what's your percentage they don't make a move? Like, same with Bob, like less than 10?
Yeah, it was, like zero. Because, like I think Bob's correct. Like he's saying, you know, it's not just about the Chiefs, it's about getting a team to agree with them. But I think even if a team doesn't agree with him, like I said, they're going to go grab a free agent, whether that's MVS, I don't know, name another one that's left on the streets right now. That's going to be it. The Chiefs got to add someone for this exact reason. Juju's hurt.
You
need him for 20 weeks.
And that changes everything, too. The Juju injury yesterday.
Yeah, didn't like seeing that.
You didn't like to see it
at
all.
But that was the whole reason you needed a weapon.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, it's tough. Like, it goes Niners, Raiders, Bucks, Broncos, Bills. And then it's Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Browns.
Mm.
And then you get the Texans, Steelers, Broncos to finish.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think 13 gets you the one seed this year.
Yep.
I think.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes, 100%.
I think 13 gets you. You got five.
You got the tiebreaker over everybody already.
You got at least four that I just read off that are automatic. That's 10.
Schedule lightens up, man.
Yeah.
You got two tough games left, Buffalo and Houston?
Probably, I'd throw in Tampa Bay, but
Tampa is an interesting one.
Yeah. Here on Monday night. Yeah.
But it's here. Yeah.
We'll call that three tough games, though.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up on the other side, somebody that you wish would have just done better. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Mac Morey, Dusty Liggins, Bob Fesco. Tell them what you can do on a Friday.
Friday, you can fold for free, right? We got Folding Fridays going on all October. Just tell them you heard it right here on 96.5 The Fan. Between 2 and 6, show up to Folding at 435 in State Line and say, I want to fold for free! Mm. And they'll say, okay, come
Please
on in.
Please leave.
Yeah, well, they may tell you to leave if you scream at them, but yeah.
Gilbert Godfrey?
He's dead, isn't he?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I know he is.
I think we lost Gilbert.
I want lane 6!
Yeah, I mean, Gilbert Godfrey. He was, I mean, you know,
a true treasure in the principal and problem child.
Yeah. And he was great in a cameo in Wings.
Affleck Duck.
Affleck Duck.
Roast of Roseanne.
Yeah.
Rosilla.
He was the Affleck Duck?
Oh, yeah. Then I think he
lost it.
He lost it. Something happened.
He got me too'd.
Did he?
I think
so. Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay. I knew there was something that happened there.
It's ironic that he lost insurance, but didn't needed insurance.
I don't know. Yeah. So Gilbert Godfrey passing away.
R.I.P.
I think.
No, he's dead.
He is dead. Okay.
He's dead.
So anyway, so folding today from 2 to 6, you can fold for free. You can reserve a lane at foldingkc.com. Fold around and find out how fun it is. World-class bar, drink specials for the fall, all of that kind of stuff. So get your fold on from 2 to 6 for free today at Folding.
Saw this interesting article, athletes that you wish would have been better.
Yeah, it's like that list could be so long, you know?
the name that came out to my mind right away. I mean, we were in the post-production meeting yesterday talking about this, and I think yours is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, but, you do?
Yeah, because all I remember from yours is the goatee that I know just smelled like a Marlboro Red.
Light, but, actually.
Yeah, Marlboro Light.
Yeah.
But no, mine's Dwayne Bowe. Like, man, I was so, and I think Dwayne Bowe's a national treasure.
Yeah.
But I was so, like, ready, I'm dead serious, to buy an 82 jersey. And you got to be special. I've owned three jerseys in my life.
Who have you owned?
I had a Tony G jersey.
That's good.
It was a white one.
Yeah, nice.
I'll never buy a white Chiefs jersey again.
They get dirty. You spill that nacho cheese on there.
Well, you just go to Arrowhead and you stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah,
You're like,
true.
Man,
yeah.
I should be in red.
Yeah.
I have a Mahomes jersey. It was gifted to me as a great Christmas gift. It's the playoff jersey. And then I had a Randall Cunningham jersey.
Ooh, like an old Kelly Green?
First jersey I ever had.
Whoa.
My stepmom was evil on Christmas. She wrapped it up really tight into a cell phone box and then did the box. All I wanted was a Randall Cunningham jersey. Got it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Do you still have it?
I wish. No.
I don't.
Dang.
Why? Why don't you still have
that? We probably gave it to Goodwill.
Oh, no.
Somebody else is rocking that Kelly Green.
That Kelly Green, Randall Cunningham jersey.
Number seven, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the better jerseys. That's a fantastic one.
I have so many clothes that nowadays I see like on like homage page or like whatever it is, and I'm like, man, I had that Charlotte Hornets starter jacket.
Do you have a starter jacket?
No, I want one.
Yeah, because the only starter jacket that I have right now is a Kansas City Scouts starter jacket.
That's cool.
And I love wearing that one. People go, what are the Scouts? I'm like, oh, okay.
But I almost bought a Dwayne Bowe jersey because that year he had with Matt Castle.
Yeah, it was a great year.
What, he had like 15 touchdowns?
I want to say Matt had 25 and like 10 of them were to Dwayne Bowe or something like that. That 2010 season was really good. That was the only season Charlie Weiss was here as the,
offensive
coordinator until he quit midway through the Baltimore game. But he was good for Matt Castle. He was good for Dwayne Bowe. That was an electric connection in 2010.
15 touchdowns.
I knew it was big.
Big number.
I mean, that whole year was insane. Like, he's the all-time leading receiver in Chiefs franchise history. Dwayne Bowe is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he won't be because Rashee Rice, once he comes back, will probably pass that he's going. But that year he had, he played every single game, hit 133 targets and 72 receptions for 1162, 15 touchdowns and 55 first downs.
I mean, do you think we'll see anybody get 15 touchdowns again for the Chiefs from that position? Kelsey doesn't even get there.
Kelsey got close, I think, one year.
I think he got close.
I think he had 13.
Yeah, I think that was it.
But yeah, he was one of those guys where, like, that's when, like, and I mean, the next year his next year in Kansas City, he played 14 games, or he started 14 games, but he had 81 receptions on 142 targets for 1159. But then just after that, just disappeared. I mean, never had 1,000 yards again. Highest year he had was 801. Finished his career in Cleveland at the age of 31. He was out of football.
He was done.
It was like that. And that's why, like,
that's everybody, though, man.
And that's why, whenever, like, the late, great Terrez Paylor would say the contract year is undefeated, the first name I thought of, I was like, oh, yeah. Cause he was in here doing the Terrez Paylor show with Binkley and I was producing it. And then during the break, I got in his ear and I was like, you know what I thought about when he said that? He's like, what's up, man? I was like, I thought of Dwayne Bowe. He goes, now you know. And I was like, yep. After that year, he got paid.
Got paid.
We never saw the Dwayne Bowe that we saw again. And I just, someone under Dwayne Bowe, he did the thumb on the name.
Yeah.
I was like, this dude is the receiver that I've always wanted to watch in Kansas City. And then just never saw it again.
What could he have been with Patrick Mahomes,
though? Oh, dear God.
You wonder where Dwayne Bowe could have been with Mahomes.
He got to catch his last pass from Patrick Mahomes before he, like, retired as a Chief.
That's right. Yeah.
And Jamal Charles got the last handoff.
Right.
So it's like, if you could go back and do the famous question, which former chief would you love to see on a Patrick Mahomes team? Derek Thomas, Dwayne Bowe, Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
And I think Tony
Gonzalez would be good too.
Well, yeah, Kelsey.
So. But together with the two of them, holy cow, man. It'd be awesome. Tony Moiaki's.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody named Tony? Tony Sacheres, the seasoning. But no, Dwayne Bowe is mine.
Dwayne Bowe is your guy. I wish it would have just continued to go. Yeah, mine is always going to be this answer, and it's so bizarre, and it's so out there, and that's why I love this one, because there were signs of promise from this gentleman, but he never was able to live up to, you know, I think he was a first-round draft pick, if I'm not mistaken, back in the day. It's Dan Reichert from the Royals. I mean, like, but the problem
Google search this guy and check out that massive goatee he had.
But the problem problem with Dan Reichert was, is like he had diabetes and really didn't take care of it like he should have. And he smoked. Mm. And so I was always like, man, you got the beatus and you're burning darts. And like you're trying to pitch in the big leagues. And that was back in 01, 02, 03, you know, when the Royals were just an absolute bleep show. And, you know, it was like the Bad News Bears and whatnot running around out there. And they were just taking anybody that you threw in high school. Come on, you're on the team now type of thing. But like I do believe a big part of being an effective athlete is taking care of your body. And if you weren't managing your beatus and you were smoking cigarettes, are you really putting yourself in the best proper position to go out there and do good? But every once in a while, you'd see these flashes of brilliance from Dan Reichert, and you'd be like, damn, if this guy could just harness this and do this consistently. And then, like, he never did. Like, nobody on those teams back in the day really, you know, harnessed anything and did anything consistently. But he's always the guy that I look back on. I'm like, damn, like, I just wish you would have managed things a little bit better. And maybe you could have been a little bit better as a pitcher in Major League Baseball. So he's always going to be the answer to that question.
His best ERA as a Royal was 4.70.
4.70. What year was that in?
2000. He had 153 innings pitched, 157 hits. Gave up 15 home runs. 15 just seems to be the number.
That's the number today, right?
Yeah. Then it would be 5.63, 5.32, and then it was on to Toronto where he would have a 6.06 ERA and never pitch in baseball again. He pitched for 5 years.
Hey, good for him, right?
He missed the cut, though.
Yeah, he did. He still gets a nice little pension, but not the 10-year pension thing. Yeah. So, Mac,
damn,
who do
damn
you have?
Good goatee from him.
Oh, hell of a goatee. Great guy, too. Love now hanging out with Reichert.
Yeah, now he looks like he goes to Sturgis once a year.
Probably.
Yeah.
Breland speaks for me.
Breland speaks?
What?
What are you, Cody Tapp over there? Still complaining about that draft pick?
No, not complaining. Just guy didn't live up to it. Thought he had talent. I didn't hate the draft pick when it happened.
Yeah.
Came in overweight consistently. Just never lived up to it. Yeah, what does Veach have?
Two or three misses? He's the only failure that Brett Veach has had as a draft pick.
Probably two or three more.
Who else would be on that list?
I mean, Sky Moore.
Okay.
Do you consider CEH a failure first round pick?
Yes.
To the way the pick is, yes. According
to the pick, yes. Okay, fine. Yeah.
But yeah, that is by far the biggest miss. And I saw it in college.
I blame Mahomes for CEH, though. They told everybody that he had a hand in that, so.
Well, is there a receiver that we're missing that Veach drafted that didn't pan out?
We said Sky Moore. Hardman instead of DK is one that people get mad about.
He still won three Super Bowls with Mecole Hardman. I'm over that one. I move on.
And DK is not as good as everyone likes to think.
Not really.
I really don't. Yeah.
Yeah, not really. He had like at the time, he had a couple of early good years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, have you really heard from DK Metcalf in the last like 3 or 4 years?
Oh, yeah.
Is he calling you?
No, but he's been balling. He's balling this year, too. Seems like every week DK Metcalf catches a 65-plus yard touchdown.
That's what I say.
Let's see your talent.
Nah, DK's a stud. I think didn't he lead the league in receiving like 2 years ago?
I don't know about that. I don't think so.
No. I mean, how much better? Could they have won three Super Bowls with DK? Like, it doesn't change anything, the DK Metcalf. You know, whether you picked him or Mecole Hardman, it changes nothing of what you've accomplished.
Mecole Hardman did catch a game-winning Super Bowl catcher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
Yep.
Yeah. He's a DK the stud, though. I've always wanted DK Metcalf on the team ever since I found out the story about the Mecole Hardman thing. Yeah, didn't lead the league in receiving, but he had 1,114 last year, had 1,048 the previous year, and then 967, 1,303.
Yeah.
It's a touchdown, so he scores 10, 12, 6, 8, and he already has 2 this year.
So it would have been like different. And, like, Mecole Hardman's never on this team if Tyreek Hill doesn't get suspended. Like, they didn't think they were having Tyreek Hill. They needed a replacement for Tyreek Hill. They traded up. They got Mecole Hardman. He was like, it was a panic move. I mean, and they'll tell you that. It was basically a panic move because they didn't know if Tyreek Hill was going to play that season. They needed a returner. I mean, that whole thing happened in April. They thought Tyreek Hill was going to be out a long time. All right, we need a returner. We ain't got nobody. All right, there's Mecole Hardman. Trade up and go get him. So
the two names on the text line, Bubba Starling and Jonathan Baldwin.
Yeah, Baldwin sucked.
Once he got knocked out by Thomas Jones, it was over.
Yeah, Bubba Starling is the classic, like, you're in a rock and a hard place, because I know the Royals were begging for somebody to take Bubba Starling ahead of him, and nobody did, and then they had to take him, because if they didn't, he went on somewhere else and achieved success. You know what that would have been like. How come you didn't take Albert Pujols? You know, like, so they had to take Bubba Starling in that situation.
Hmm. Who's next on the next best quarterback in the league? We dive into that from a tweet from a guy that we find pretty credible. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.